Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Amen. We can shout to the Lord because of the promise we have in Him. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And as you are making your way there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You right now, Lord. And God, You are such an awesome God, and we praise You, Lord. We shout to You this morning because of the promise that we have in You, Lord. But God, this morning as we come to Your Word, Lord, we just pray that You will just clear our minds of all distractions, clear our minds of everything that's going on around us, Lord, and help us to focus on You and Your Word this morning, God. God, I pray that You will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, Lord, and I'm just a mouthpiece for Your kingdom this morning. God, we just thank You for Jesus and how because of Him dying on the cross, we get to do what we are doing today. And God, we pray all this in His name. Amen. Obsolete. Obsolete. This clicker still is messed up for some reason. But obsolete. There are many things in our lives, and even in my short 31 years of life, that have gone obsolete. Many of you, I know, or can think of several things right now that have gone completely obsolete in your lifetime. Phone books, the yellow pages, you remember those? We don't see those anymore, do we? Rotary phones, right? Some of you probably didn't even see those, right? VHS tapes. Cassette tapes, just to name a few things that have already gone obsolete and we no longer use anymore. But there are some things that will never go obsolete, right? I think of a pencil or a writing utensil of some sorts. We've been writing for a very, very long time, and I look to the future and I still believe we're going to be writing things down on paper. Words and language, and how since the beginning of time we have talked to each other, we've communicated to each other. I think of water and food and sleep, and how every single one of us here need those things to live. They will never go obsolete, they will never be forgotten about. I think of God's Word and how His Word will never be obsolete. His Word will be forever. However, there are things taught in the Word of God that was never meant to be forgotten about, never meant to become obsolete, but some things have. And one of those spiritual practices that has been forgotten about, that has become obsolete in the lives of Christians, is fasting. Let's just think about this for a second. Let me illustrate it to you for just a second. When was the last time you fasted for a biblical or spiritual purpose? When was the last time you heard a sermon preached on fasting, if ever, in your life? I know in the last 3 years that hasn't happened because I nor Henry have preached on fasting, right? When was the last time you had anything related to fasting be talked about or talked to you or even thought about in your mind? I hope this illustrates to you how we have forgotten about fasting and how fasting has kind of gone obsolete in our minds. Obsolete in the church. But church, fasting was never meant to be forgotten about. Fasting was never meant to become obsolete in the church. Fasting is something that has been expected of the Christian ever since the cross of Jesus. And unfortunately, there are many more secular people fasting today for secular reasons than Christians fasting for spiritual reasons, for spiritual purposes. Even ourselves, we will fast for a diet, won't we? We will do an intermittent fast just to lose some weight. We will fast to have our blood drawn, right? Because the doctor said, hey, don't eat anything for 8 hours before you come in to give your blood, right? We will fast for other medical purposes such as surgeries and anything along those lines. But to fast for a spiritual purpose, it never crosses our minds. We don't think it's important to fast for spiritual purposes. Or really, we just don't know anything about it, and so we just don't fast. Because fasting, is it taught or is it talked about in the church? Well, church, my purpose today in preaching to you from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 and 18 is that you will see that fasting has a purpose in your life. And truth be told, it is expected of you. Now, I'm certain that many of you right now have lots of questions surrounding fasting. How do I do it? What is the correct way to fast? How often should I fast? What is the purpose of fasting? What am I to do when I am fasting? You mean I can't eat for a few hours? I got to miss a meal or two or three, right? Pastor, I have actually tried to fast before. This has crossed my mind. I've tried to do it, and it was a miserable experience. I was hungry the whole time. I had to iron will my way through it, and it was just awful. Why are you telling me that is expected of me? I don't have the time to answer every single question today, but I hope I'm able to answer many of your questions. And if by the end of a sermon I haven't answered any of your questions or all of your questions, please just ask me. I would love to try to answer your questions. Send me an email if you want to. Send me a message. Call me this week and say, hey, I got some questions. And I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you and talk to you about the answer to your questions. And so with that, let's begin this morning by answering questions as we look at our passage from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. And as we see it on the screens here, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Church, there's three focuses that I want to focus on today. And I want to talk about the expectation to fast, the purpose of fasting, and the reward of fasting. And so let's begin looking at the expectation to fast. As we just read through the passage, I hope that you were able to pick up on that kind of expectation, that assumption that you read in this passage from Jesus. Two times here, you look at verse 16, he says, and when you fast, see that? And when you fast, there's an expectation there. There is an assumption there. We see it again in verse 17. And when you fast, but when you fast, anoint your head. We see that, right? There's an expectation. There is an assumption here. We saw this a few weeks ago with prayer. When you pray, when you pray, when you pray, pray then like this. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that we should pray, right? We know without a shadow of a doubt that we should give. If you go before the passage, before prayer, Jesus talks about giving. When you give, when you give. We know as Christians we are supposed to give. We know as Christians we are supposed to pray. But when it comes to fasting, we're like, wait a minute. I'm not so sure about this. I don't know if I could be hungry for a few minutes. To further make the point, Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, and the disciples of John came to him and they're saying, "Why do we and why do the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Talking about the disciples of Jesus. But then he goes on in verse 15 and says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?'" Jesus is the bridegroom, just so we're all clear. "The days will come when the bridegroom, when Jesus is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus and his disciples at this point in time, they were not fasting because the bridegroom, because Jesus was with them. The very person or thing they were longing for, fasting for, well, he was right there with them. But Jesus goes on to say that there will come a time when he's not going to be with them. And when he is not with them, guess what the disciples will do? They will fast. As we clearly see in the book of Acts in chapter 9, chapter 13, and chapter 14, the early Christians fasted. Church, we know that we are supposed to give. We know that we are supposed to pray. We don't question it. We just do it. But when it comes to fasting, we question it. Are you sure I've got to do this fasting thing? I really enjoy my food. I like to eat, Pastor. If I miss a meal, I get a headache. Anybody else like that? Right? I can't miss a meal or else I get hangry. Is it that something they only did then, but we don't do now, right? Don't we start thinking that way when it comes to fasting? Church, just as giving and praying are expected of the believer, so is fasting. Fasting is for spiritual purposes, should ultimately be a regular part of our lives. It should be something that we should try to do often in our lives. Now, I think an important question that we must answer, or we must ask and then answer, is this. What is fasting? Right? If we don't know what fasting is, then we really can't do fasting. But what is fasting? In the Bible, every time we see people fasting, they are either fasting from food and or water. Okay? They also fast for a duration of time, whether it's one meal, whether it's two meals, whether it's one day, 3 days, 7 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days, okay? And then we also see that there is a purpose behind why they are fasting. There is a reason behind the fast, a spiritual reason. Therefore, we can conclude that biblical fasting is refraining from food or water for a set amount of time for a specific spiritual purpose. Refraining from food and or water for a set amount of time for a specific spiritual purpose. True biblical fasting is a spiritual matter. Fasting for medical reasons, not a spiritual fast. Fasting for a diet or fasting for intermittent fasting or anything along those lines, not a spiritual fast. That's just a weight loss fast, right? That's just a diet. True biblical fasting has a specific spiritual purpose behind it. And in the truest biblical sense, it means that you are refraining from food and water. But I would also agree that fasting can be from anything that tends to have control over you. One thing fasting does is it shows us the idols we have in our lives. Fasting ultimately shows us how much of a god food is in our lives. Right? We struggle to think about missing one single meal. And in that, we quickly realize how much of an idol food is to us. We struggle to think that I can't look at my phone or look at social media for a few hours, and when we begin to realize that, oh, social media has a little bit of a control over me. We struggle to sit and not watch TV or watch the news for a few hours at a time, and then we quickly begin to realize, wait a minute, I think TV and news has a little bit of a control over me. Those things have become an idol in my life. We struggle with going a long time without shopping and spending on different things, right? And we quickly realize that, oh, shopping and spending tends to be a little bit of an idol in my life, because the thought of not doing anything like that for a few days is just mind-blowing to me. Fasting shows us the idols we have in our life. And if you are sitting here right now and you are saying to yourself, I don't think I can fast from these things for any set amount of time, then you might need to wonder if that is an idol that you have in your life. It's controlling you. It's consuming you. It's dictating what you can and can't do. It's determining how you feel. That's an idol. And fasting shows us those idols and helps us rid ourselves of those idols in our lives. But church, when we fast, whether it's from food and water, and I would say that's the primary thing we should fast from, or whether it's from any other thing that you have in your life that you should fast from, there has to be a right attitude to how you fast. I want to take us back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. And Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus then teaches about giving and how we are not to give to be seen. He then teaches about praying and how we are not to pray to be seen. But then we get to verses 16 through 18, and Jesus teaches that fasting is expected, but we must not fast to be seen. We must not fast for show. Our fasting is not to be seen by others, as Jesus says. The hypocrites, if you look back at verse 16 and 17 there, the hypocrites, they looked gloomy. They were disfiguring their faces. They wanted to be seen by others. They wanted to put it on for a show. They acted out their hunger. They complained about how hungry they were when they were fasting. You ever met someone that's just really hungry all the time? And you know how they just all the time looking distraught, and they're all the time complaining about how hungry it is, and how hungry they are? They are starving, and they can't help but to tell you. These are the hypocrites, right? They are going to put on a show, and they're going to let you know, I am fasting. Look at me, look at me. But Jesus says, anoint your head, wash your face. In other words, take a shower, get cleaned up, fix your hair, brush your teeth, wipe the gloomy look off your face. When you start to get hungry, don't complain about it. Don't go, oh, I'm starving. Right? Yeah, you're going to feel that when you fast, but we're not to complain about it. We're not to be all upset about it. Don't put on a show about your fasting. Don't say you're hungry. Don't even act hungry if you can. And whatever you do, do not post it on social media that you are fasting. I've seen people do that before. How I'm fasting this week, and I'm like, what are you doing? You done messed up. Don't blare it to others. If you start blaring your fasting to others, then all you are saying is, hey, look at me. Look how righteous I am and how not you are. Look at how great I am. Now, this is not to say that you can't tell anyone, right? Because I often hear when people say, I'm fasting, therefore I cannot tell a single soul. Okay? Because I want to be very clear about something. Jesus is not barring us from telling anybody. He's barring us from putting on a show. Because let me tell you something. If you start to fast and you go home to your spouse and they've cooked a wonderful meal and you say, I'm sorry, honey, I'm fasting today. Let me tell you who's going to be upset with you. Okay? It might be a wise idea to say, hey, sweetie, I'm fasting today. Okay? So that way, they only cook a meal for them. Or whenever they see you getting a little hangry and a little jittery because you're hungry a little bit, they go, he's fasting, he's just hungry, he's working it out. And they can even encourage you, right? They can even offer some kind of encouragement and tend to help you get through it. If you get invited to a lunch and you are fasting, it might be a good idea just to let that person know, hey, I'm fasting, I'm not going to be ordering a meal, okay? Just leave it at that. Don't talk about it again. That's it. You're just simply letting them know so they're not looking at you while they're stuffing their face going, why ain't that person eating? Right? You're just simply letting them know. You're not putting on a show about it. The point isn't not telling people. The point is not fasting for show. When we fast, church, we must have a proper heart attitude to what we are doing. And to fasting for spiritual purposes, not for selfish reasons, and not for selfish gain. Now, having the right attitude is not only due to not fasting for show, but also in just how we carry ourselves through the fasting. Right? Fasting is not meant to be done with an iron will. Right? You think about having to not eat breakfast and lunch because you got to go give blood at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to iron will your way all day long. Right? You're having to force it. It's not something that we are supposed to do and at the end of it go, well, I'm powered my way through it. I did it. That was hard, but I forced my way through it. Skipping a meal is hard, right? I have to iron will my way through just one meal if I have to skip something, okay? But that's not the way fasting is to be done. Fasting's not meant to be done with an iron will. When you have no purpose behind your fasting, you know what's going to happen? You will fast with an iron will. You will will your way all the way through it. And when you finish your fast, it's going to feel completely pointless and like wasted mental energy. Because there's no purpose, there's no plan, and you suffered all the way through being hungry. Fasting is meant to be done with a purpose in mind. And it's only then that when we fast, not with an iron will, but with humility and with reliance upon the Lord to satisfy our hungers, that we will fast the proper way. So this moves us to our next focus, the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting. We know that fasting is expected. We know that we're supposed to fast with the proper attitude. It's not for show, with humility, with reliance. But why are we to fast? What are the purposes of fasting? Why should we do this? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus doesn't really give us an answer to why of fasting. He just says that we are expected to do it. So we won't have to look elsewhere in the Bible. And surprisingly, there are many, many references about fasting in the Bible. In case you're curious, there are more references to fasting in the Bible than there is baptism. And let me tell you, as Baptists, we believe in baptism, don't we? Now, there are more references to fasting than baptism. And yet, we don't think of it as important. I would wager to say that we don't think it as important because we don't know the purpose of fasting. In a book by Don Whitney on the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, he identifies 10 purposes of fasting. I've listed them there for you in your bulletin for you to be able to see. They're all laid out there. But his list that he gives, and every single one of them, I want you to know you can find a biblical reference to. I'm sorry I did not put them there. I would have ran out of room on the bulletin, okay? But there are references in the Bible to every single one of those purposes of fasting. We fast to strengthen prayer. We fast to seek God's guidance, to express grief, to seek deliverance or protection, to express repentance and return to God, to humble oneself before God, to express concern for the work of God, to minister to the needs of others, to overcome temptation and to dedicate yourself to God, to express love and worship to God. As I said, you can find references to all of them. Now, one thing I'm going to say out of all of these purposes, they are all equally important. They are all equally valuable. And at different points in your life, you will find yourself, or you should find yourself, needing to fast for one of these purposes. However, I would say that the primary function of fasting is that very first one, to strengthen prayer. In all honesty, when you look at this list, every single one of them involves praying, involves talking to God. When you seek God's deliverance, when you seek God's guidance, when you express grief, whenever you express repentance and all the rest of them, what are you doing? You're praying and you are talking to God, right? So in many ways, the primary function of fasting is ultimately to strengthen our prayers and all these other things. And when you begin to look at all the references in the Bible to fasting, many of them are paired with prayer. Therefore, I believe it is safe to say that fasting is prayer's companion. They are best friends. They're best buds. They go together. They hang out together. They do everything together. Fasting and prayer, they are meant to go hand in hand. And unfortunately, the pairing of fasting and prayer does not happen at all, if often. We pray for serious things, but we don't fast. I'm guilty of this in my own life and church. I want you to know that this sermon is speaking to me as much as I hope it is speaking to you. I heard someone say on a podcast this week that fasting is like a dramatized prayer. Right? Many of us have been to a play. We've seen a play. We've seen a play be acted out. Right? And to a degree, when we fast, we are ultimately just dramatizing our prayer. We're going to the extreme lengths to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need help. Lord, hear my prayers. We are acting out with our bodies, our dependence upon God. We are displaying with our lives that we actually really do need God more than we need food. In church, when it comes to making major life decisions, when it comes to seeking or asking God for deliverance and protection, when it comes to expressing deep repentance for sin, when it comes to overcoming temptation and come to expressing grief, when we need to humble ourselves, when we are asking the Lord to do big things in our life and in this church, we must fast. We should fast. And as we make our way through our fasting and our stomachs start to rumble and we begin to get a little bit hungry, we must remember our purpose. And we continue to fast. We feel the hunger and our mind says, hey, I am hungry. And then your mind quickly says, oh, I'm hungry because I am fasting. And then you quickly realize and you answer yourself and you go, but wait. I'm fasting because of this. I'm fasting for the purpose of repentance. I'm fasting because the sin has a hold of my life and I'm ready to overcome it. I'm fasting for the purpose of seeking God's deliverance in my life, God's guidance for my life. I'm fasting because I'm in deep grief right now. I'm fasting because I want to see God do big things in my life and in this church. Fasting for the purpose of expressing my deep love for God and worship of Him. When we fast, we must have a purpose, or else our fasting is nothing but a diet and weight loss and a missed meal. It will be a miserable experience, and it will become all about how we mustered up the willpower to endure through the fasting rather than about the purpose of why we are fasting. Now we answered the question to why do we fast and what are the purposes of fasting, but what about what do we do when we are fasting? I'm in this time of fasting, what do I do now, Pastor? Do I just sit there quietly all day long and do nothing? Like what do I do, right? We have a purpose for fasting and now we must plan our fast. I don't think it has to be an immediate thing you do. I don't think a fast should be done in haste. I think you should plan your fast out. I think you should say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to fast from one meal for this purpose. Or I'm going to fast all day tomorrow for this purpose and this reason. You need to plan how long you're going to fast. Am I just going to fast for one meal, two meals? Am I going to fast for a whole day? Am I going to do 3 days? Am I going to fast for a week? Well, sometimes we see some 21-day fast around. Jesus fasted for 40 days, as I said earlier, right? And so we need to ask the question, how long do I plan to fast? And then you need to come up with a plan of what you were going to do. What am I going to do during this time? What am I going to do? I'm going to make this real clear here because I want you to think about this. Whenever you eat a meal, there's a lot that goes with it, right? Unless you just have some kind of microwavable meal. But if you are cooking a meal, then there's a lot of time that goes together with it. If you were to prepare a meal, cook the meal, and eat the meal, you end up with about an hour and a half, right? Maybe longer, depending on how long it takes to cook the meal or how, anything like that. An hour, hour and a half, whatever. When we fast, the point of fasting is that we fast for the purpose during the time that we would typically prepare, cook, and eat. Not just the eating part. It includes all of it. Now you begin to think about your day and you're like, okay, I spend about an hour fixing breakfast and eating breakfast. I spend an hour eating lunch. I spend an hour and a half cooking supper and preparing and eating. And so then you begin to add up your time and you're like, oh, wow, I've got like 5 hours worth of time to do some stuff, right? And so you have to plan what you are going to do. And for the time of this, and what I would begin to say is that when you would typically spend your time preparing a meal, maybe you spend this time reading and studying God's Word. When you would typically spend your time cooking and eating, maybe you spend this time in prayer, consistently staying in prayer. And then maybe you add to it, I'm going to sit in silence, in solitude, and just listen for the Lord to speak to me through His Word and in my life. I'm going to ask the Lord just to talk to me and just point out some things in my life. Fasting has a purpose and fasting has a plan. And so when we do this, we have to have a plan of what we're going to do. Because without it, it's probably going to be a miserable time and it will feel purposeless. Now, I do need to add a disclaimer to all of this, right? I don't want any of you doing anything seriously harming your bodies or anything like that, because I want to add this. I want to say this. Your body really does need food and water. If you go without water for 3 days, you will most likely die, okay? You'll become severely dehydrated, and it will be serious on your health. So my encouragement to you right now is don't fast from water. We need it. It's something we need. Fasting from food, completely different. You can go for many, many days without eating food. Now, if you have some serious health concerns, or if you have any health issues or anything along those lines, my encouragement to you is you call your doctor and you say, hey, doctor, I'm thinking about doing a fast for this amount of time. What are your suggestions? And I encourage you to listen to your doctor. If he says don't fast for more than 1 day, don't fast for more than 1 day. Because the last thing I want to do is be at Skyline Hospital with you. Okay? Or any other hospital for that matter. So be careful as you do this. Do this with wisdom and don't be irresponsible with your fasting. I also encourage you, if you've never fasted before, to start small. Start with one meal. Fast from one meal. Just start there. And as you do it once, move to two meals. And as you do two meals, move to three meals. Do a whole day, maybe. And then if you're feeling really good about it, maybe you can move to 2 days or 3 days or anything along those lines. Whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart to fast. So we know that it is expected of us to fast. We know that we are to fast with a purpose and a plan. But is there a reward to fasting? Am I going to get anything out of this? Is there anything coming for me, if that makes sense? And I want to be very careful saying this, because just as we often do in prayer sometimes, we tend to think, if I pray, I'm going to get it, right? Sometimes that happens in our prayer lives, and the same thing happens in our fasting. We tend to think, Lord, I fasted for this, why have I not got it? Lord, I fasted for this purpose, why has it not been given? And we cannot demand anything of God, whether it be through fasting or whether it be through prayer. So I want to caution you this morning, if you are going to try and fast in order to get something or demand something from the Lord, you best be careful doing that, because that's not the purpose of fasting. As a matter of fact, fasting is not our idea. Fasting is an idea that God gave to us. And with that, we should know that if God is the one that's given us the idea to fast, then He's also the one that's going to give us what we need. And He's going to respond in the way that He deems necessary to respond as we fast. But I want to take us back real quick to Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. And Jesus says this. Look at the very last part. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He actually says this for giving, and He says this for praying. And He also says it for fasting. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I know what the answer is to what the reward is. Because to be completely honest with you, I don't know what the reward is. The Bible doesn't tell us what the reward is. Jesus doesn't tell us what the reward is. He just tells us that there's going to be a reward. Now, I have some speculations, and I'm going to share those speculations with you. And I'm going to give you my reasoning behind why I have those speculations. But I need you to know this is not the definitive answer. I think that part of the reward of fasting is God Himself. When we fast, and every single time our belly growls, every single time we feel the hunger, we are ultimately reminded that we are needy people. That we need something. That we need this to live. That we are dependent creatures who depend on food to survive and depend on water to live. And we are reminded that we are ultimately dependent upon who? God. And that humbles us, right? And the more we realize that we are dependent upon the Father to give, the more of the Father we get. The more we realize that we need the bread of life, Jesus Christ Himself, the more of Jesus we get. The more we realize that we need help in this life, the more of the Holy Spirit we get. Fasting humbles us and rewards us with God Himself. Church, what better reason do we need to see that fasting can be such a great joy in our lives? And I know what you're thinking. Fasting is supposed to be a joyful experience. It's supposed to bring us joy. If God is our joy and we get more of Him in fasting, yes. Yes. Fasting is to be a joyful thing because it enriches our enjoyments of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Fasting is meant to bring us joy. A second reward that I speculate to be a possible reward in this fasting or part of the reward is just simply this. Fasting changes us. It humbles us. It grounds us. It chisels out the idols of our lives. It weeds out the sin in us. It reminds us of who is in control and who isn't. It reminds us that we are the creature and He is the Creator. Fasting sanctifies us. God uses fasting in our lives to renew our hearts and our minds. Fasting changes us. And I believe that to be a reward for our lives. Today, church, we have seen the expectation to fast. We've seen the purpose of fasting. We've seen the reward of fasting. And church, I just want you to know that fasting and prayer are companions of each other. They're like best friends. They go hand in hand. And I'm not saying that every single time you pray, you should also fast. But when it comes to big life decisions, when it comes to big things happening in your life, when it comes to really seeking out the Lord's guidance and direction for your life, when it comes to anything on the list of purposes on that list there, fasting and prayer should be done together. We should do it together. But church, just as prayer is a temporary measure, so too is fasting. There will come a day when Jesus is going to return. And when He returns and He takes us home, there will be no more fasting. Amen? All right, we should be excited about that. Because when we get to heaven, you know what's going to be called? Not a fast, a feast. And we will all feast at the table. Fasting, church, points us forward to the return of Jesus. Fasting prepares our hearts for our eternal home. Fasting points us to a time in which we will never hunger and never thirst again. Friends, food is necessary in this life. If we don't eat food, we will eventually die. But you know what? There's a greater need this morning, and the need of food and the need of water, and it's Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and in your life, you will not only die a physical death, but you will die a spiritual death. And you'll spend eternity in hell. If you are here this morning and you are spiritually hungry and you've been tasting and eating every other thing in this world and nothing has satisfied you, if you've been looking for this and looking for that and trying to have that as an answer and trying to find whatever you can to satisfy your needs and anyone but Jesus, I promise you, it will not satisfy you. It will not satisfy your hunger. It will not quench your thirst. The only one that can satisfy your hungers, the only one that can satisfy all your thirst is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This morning, if you are seeking other things to be satisfied, if you are seeking sin to be satisfied, if you're seeking relationships to be satisfied, if you are seeking this or addictions or any other thing, or if you're seeking whatever it is outside of Jesus Christ to be satisfied, it's not going to satisfy. Because the only thing that can truly satisfy us in this life is Jesus Christ. Because He is the bread. He fills our hunger, and He quenches our thirst. If you've never believed in Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord of your life, and you feel the Lord drawing you to Himself and calling you to Himself, I plead with you this morning to just respond by simply believing in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life. And the Bible says you will be saved. And so if that's you this morning, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you and just talk about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And church, as I wrap this up, the Lord has put it on me. Ever since we began the praying series of sermons, yeah, I'll be honest with you, even before the sermon series on prayer, the Lord has put it on me to call us to a congregational fast. We see in several places, Old Testament, New Testament, where a congregation of people fasted together for a purpose, for a reason. And here at Nilly's Bend, I want you to know that we have a purpose, right? Our purpose is that we want this church to exist for the glory of God. We want this church to equip people with the gospel of Jesus. We want people in this church and in this community to live in worship of God. We want this church to live in one another fellowship. We want this church to make disciples in Nilly's Bend, Madison, and beyond. We want this church to grow in spiritual health. We want this church to be a light on a hill. We want this church to be an impact on the kingdom of God here in Madison and Nilly's Bend. We want God, at least I hope you do, we want God to move in this church and in this community. And so church, for the month of March, once a week, I'm encouraging you to fast for the purposes of this church and for the impact that this church can have on this community. I'm not asking you to fast all week. I'm just simply asking you to fast once, one meal, one day, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And in this time of fasting, let's just simply go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to move in this church and move in this community and ask the Lord to do big, big things. I've got a printout in your bulletin that you should have received when you walked in. For things to pray for during your time of fasting as a way to help you have a purpose and help you have a reason and help you have a plan to fast over the next 3 weeks. And then when the month of April comes, and for every month afterwards, I'm looking forward to this too, once a month, we will have like first Friday's fast or third Thursday's fast or second Tuesday's fast. I don't know what it will be or what it will call it at that point, if that makes sense. But once a month, we'll have a purpose, we'll have a plan, and we will fast together as a church. Because we want to ask the Lord to do big things in this church and in this community. Church, as I read in a book this week by David Mathis, we fast in this life because we believe in the life to come. We fast from what we can see and what we can taste because we have tasted and seen the goodness of the invisible God and are desperately hungry for more of Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You right now, Lord. And first, I just want to say thank You for Jesus being the bread of life. For being the very thing that can satisfy our hungers, Lord, can satisfy our thirst, Lord. And God, as we come to a time of fasting in our own lives, Lord, I pray that we will lean into Jesus. That when we are hungry, we will say, Lord, Jesus is my satisfaction. I want more of Him. God, Your word this morning is very convincing that fasting is expected of us. And so, God, I just pray for us as a church, for every single individual here that can and has the ability and can do fasting in a responsible way, Lord, that's not going to have any bodily harm to them, Lord, that we will fast. Because we want to see You do big things in our lives and in this church. God, we just pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.